You're listening to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 157, for the week of January 25th, 2012. Everybody, this is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
My name is George Alborg.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a website dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games. But every once in a while we get kind of lax.
We do.
We don't talk about all genres here.
Nope.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a walled city. A walled city, well, Katie Williams calls it a walled city. She wrote an article called The Walled City of Gaming, World of Warcraft.
And I think this is a pretty contentious article. I think that...
Yeah. I didn't wade into any of the discussion, like the comments, too heavily, but it is something that I immediately had two polar responses to.
Okay.
You know, like one half of my brain was like, ah, Walled City, no way, everyone knows about WoW. And the other side of my brain was like, actually, I kind of know nothing about WoW. So it's like, Yeah. Maybe we can like tease it out. Like, is World of Warcraft... And on a larger scale, massively multiplayer online games and online RPGs in general, is there a strange segmentation of it?
And I think that we could even go beyond that and look at other types of games in general, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah.
But to start off, I think Katie's main point here is that the people who play WoW are not readily accepted or don't communicate with the people who play games in general.
Right.
And there's an important differentiation here between the people who play games, period, you know, you and I, and many of our listeners, and the people who just play WoW.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. It's also that you segment the part of you that does play those types of games.
Yeah.
You know, because Katie mentions that when she was in college, she sort of kept the fact that she played WoW to herself, even amongst maybe her gaming friends.
Yeah.
So I might tell someone, oh yes, I've been playing a lot of games lately, but not tell them 40% of those have been World of Warcraft. For fear that they'll be like, what, you play WoW still? That's crazy. This game's like, what, 8 years old or something?
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is one of the main reasons why I resist the walled city interpretation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like right off the bat, I feel like there was a time and a place where WoW was very much in the center of everything that was going on.
Right.
And I'm talking about like kind of in our circles, you know, you would see people who are a little bit more critical, a little bit more thoughtful. Week in and week out, they would talk more about WoW.
Well, and we should say, though, that is a limited window.
Right.
And it's usually after release, and then after every major expansion, you've got maybe 6 weeks to 8 weeks of people talking a lot about World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And then it just plummets. No one talks about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of how I've always... And that basically describes my awareness of it in general. I'm always aware that things are going on in WoW, you know, at all times. And then every once in a while they'll, you know, their yearly cycle or their, you know, whatever, 9-month cycle where they release an update. There's kind of a big fanfare, and then it ebbs back to the background noise.
It's like your great aunt's birthday or something.
Except that WoW doesn't give me money, I give it money, you know? Like,
right.
My great aunt, actually, you know?
I think that it grabs our attention for good reason, right? It reminds us that, wow, there really are a lot of people playing this game.
Yeah.
And that the people who are making it are still providing something of interest.
Right.
There has been a marked downturn, I think, in the reception of World of Warcraft.
Well, and the users overall, you know? It's not the high watermark of, you know, 12 million people or whatever it was a few years ago.
But for example, the Pandaren expansion was recently announced.
Yeah.
And I felt like there wasn't as much hullabaloo going on when it was announced this time as opposed to some of the other expansions. And that might just be because I don't play WoW anymore.
Right.
And when I did play WoW, I paid quite a bit of attention to any news that was coming out of Blizzard.
Well, I think there's also the reality that it's juxtaposed with the Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's huge. They redesigned the entire world of the game. I mean, essentially, that's WoW Part 2.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That was a huge thing that was grabbing people's attention because it was new and had never been done before.
And so all of a sudden, where do you go? Once you've destroyed and rebuilt the world, you're going to have a strange lull. I mean, it's hard to have an apocalypse every 9 months and have it still pack that punch.
Well, I mean, I think the question is, how relevant is World of Warcraft anymore?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that I would go out on a limb and say it's really not all that relevant anymore.
Right.
I mean, yes, of course, there's a ton of players, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of nuance in the game, but there's also a lot of other games now that take lessons from WoW without necessarily repeating some of its flaws.
Mm-hmm.
I still think WoW does amazing things, and Cataclysm was an incredibly interesting and, I think, well-designed expansion. But, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic just came out. That's mm-hmm. basically WoW 3.0.
Oh, Flame Wars!
And, I'm just not sure that it deserves our attention.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not interesting in and of itself,
yeah.
but I'm not entirely... I guess what I'm saying is that, to some extent, it's not a walled city, it's just an abandoned city.
Oh man, that's deep. Well, I mean, anecdotally, like going back to the idea of how central is it? And
right.
and in, I think in culture overall, I mean, a few years ago, you had a South Park episode about WoW.
Right.
A year or two before that, remember how big of a deal Leroy Jenkins was, like, as an internet meme?
I'll never forget Leroy.
Like, Leroy Jenkins was the cake is a lie of its year.
Right.
You know, and remember there was the, that infamous raid on the funeral party in WoW? Remember
right.
that?
Yeah,
like, I mean,
yeah.
like, there's been some huge WoW gaming culture and broader culture moments. I just feel like the time has passed a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's just a function of time passing, you know? You can't always be on top, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that's completely accurate. That being said, I think we could still look at WoW as a walled city even earlier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Because even from the type of writing that we got, and we talked a bit about the academic writing around World of Warcraft, of
yeah.
which there's a huge, almost disproportionate amount of writing
right.
about World of Warcraft,
yeah.
a lot of it's done from a sort of anthropological perspective.
Right.
It's looking in and saying, look at all of these people in their walled city and them doing all of their weird things.
Right.
Let's go back now. We're done looking at them. Let's go back to what we were doing before.
Right, right.
So I just still think that even when it was in its prime, there's a mentality that WoW is different. It's
mm-hmm.
it's separate from the rest of gaming culture and gaming communities, and the people who play it a lot are experiencing something that we can't really cross boundaries with.
So, okay, so you posited WoW exceptionalism.
Yes.
Is that real? Like, is it really that? Because, I mean, I never really played WoW that seriously, but you played WoW more seriously than I
ever
did.
Oh, yeah, very seriously.
And now you don't play WoW at all.
Yeah.
So, like, you're on both sides of this supposed wall that we're talking about. Is there something exceptional about WoW from your perspective?
I mean, I think there's something exceptional about all MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is that they're so persistent. You know, there's so many active communities going on.
Right.
There's so many people you're involved with that it sort of lends itself well to being an isolated community because you're investing so much time in strengthening the active community of players,
mm-hmm.
not crossing boundaries and explaining the world to those who don't play it.
Yeah.
Again, it's massive. Like other MMOs, it's huge.
Yeah.
What part of WoW am I supposed to share when I'm playing it?
Mm.
You know, what aspect of WoW am I supposed to say, oh, check this out, you'll get it? Because
right.
you won't necessarily get it.
Right.
Because the experience of playing an MMO, even if you're doing a quest line, even if you're by yourself, is markedly different from playing a single-player experience on the console.
Mm, that's true. Just because of the random interaction you'll have with people that even you're not partied with.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that's always something that has struck me as, you know, like, as an outsider. It's almost a daunting thing in a way. Like, I wouldn't be sure how to conduct myself within this world.
Right.
And you know, I'm probably just psyching myself out. You know, it's like
yeah.
it's not really that big of a deal. Like,
yeah.
But there's that perception that there's potentially lingo or...
And there is lingo, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, even knowing terms like tank or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, that's important. Or there are, like you were saying, geographic considerations. It is a large place, and you don't want to look like you don't know where you should be going and what you should be
right.
doing. But all of that is magnified by the social aspect of it. Because you don't know what the hell you're doing when you go into Dark Souls or something, but no one's going to be actively looking at you. You know?
Right, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
yeah, there's no social component to it.
I mean, when you log on to WoW and you see someone in glowing tier 12 armor,
yeah.
that's an experience that you're not going to have, and it's not necessarily a welcoming experience.
Yeah, right.
Because the other thing is, you know, even if it's a walled city, there's still a lot of people who ventured in and experienced a little bit of it and then were turned off for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they left that area. And now it really, to them, it really does seem like a strange landscape.
Like, I'm not even welcome. I tried. Yeah. I'm not even welcome.
It's almost like a sort of post-apocalyptic city to some extent, right?
They just took that road right out of town. They're like, I'm gone.
Exactly. Yeah, they abandoned it. And I think that looking back, as people who once played the game and now no longer play it, maybe people don't feel like they share anything with that community anymore. Because how could I be turned off by that game, yet all those other people be fine with it? There must be something different between us.
Yeah.
They must be looking for something else out of games, which might be true.
It could be true, especially when you take into consideration, you know, Katie in her article talks about, like, in the... It's really hard to use terms like this, but, like, you know, the blogosphere, the critical gaming sphere, like, you don't see as many posts dedicated to WoW, and all of a sudden my mind jumps to sites like Massively, which is, like, a Joystick-sponsored site just about MMOs, and then Joystick has an even more specific site called WoW Insider, which is all about WoW.
And there's a lot of WoW podcasts that are still in running.
Yeah, but the point that she makes about all those things is what we just talked about. Like, many times they are about the technical aspects of the game, like crunching the numbers, talking about rumors and what kind of items are coming down the pipe. Like, the cultural explorations of WoW are something that tend to be a bit more hidden. Not non-existent. Well, I mean, like, well, we talked about the academic world that we are kind of affiliated with through in our other lives. Like, that's all. The academic world loves WoW.
Yeah.
And there are certain websites, like for example, reliably, the Border House always has something about WoW.
Yeah.
Less so now that Dragon Age 2 has come out. But I mean, like, WoW does have people taking a look at it critically, like in the same way someone would take a look at Portal or Bastion or any of those other things, you know, as an artistic piece of creation. But I mean, just judging by what we do on our site, what other people that we inhabit the same sphere as,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, she has somewhat of a point, I feel like.
Yeah, but how much of this is just the outcome of stronger and more vibrant gaming communities that are so easily accessible in this day and age?
Infinite splintering, basically. Because
say, for example, I play WoW, and I play a lot of WoW. Shouldn't there be a site where I go and communicate with other players exclusively?
And like, it's just WoW. That's it.
I mean, I get it that we lose something, I think, when we separate into our little own distinct communities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just with WoW, right?
Right.
Like, Minecraft is huge, but Minecraft has a lot of fan sites that are just about Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are on the tech side, how to build crazy amounts of things.
Right.
Some of them are on the cultural side and the experiences you have, and the, you know, exploration blogs of Minecraft are a big thing and are really interesting. But even between those two communities, there's a divide.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm glad you brought up Minecraft, because I feel like it followed a similar trajectory, just condensed.
Yeah.
I mean, remember like two years ago when everyone was getting into Minecraft alpha/beta and people were just obsessed with it. Like, mm-hmm. we wrote stuff about it. Like, we each wrote multiple posts about it on Pop Matters and our side. Mm-hmm. And everyone on podcasts was talking about, you know, general interest gaming podcasts were talking about it. And now it's arguably Minecraft is bigger than it's ever been.
Right.
More players. But people like us are talking about it less. People mm-hmm. on the podcast are talking about it less. And it's like, you know, things do have a popular peak.
Yeah.
And so Minecraft just experienced something like WoW is experiencing, just on a much longer scale.
Right, right. You know, and I think that we can locate problems with this, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not just that, oh, this is great, we could reside in our own little community and have a grand old time.
I'm just going to shut the door.
Well, and I think that, you know, and maybe WoW doesn't count as fitting into this category, but there are some communities that are isolated because the experience of playing them is so different than other experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules of play are different and not necessarily transferable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I was reading, having a really good time with Rayman Origins, for example.
Yeah.
You should check this out because you're really into other platformers like Mario Brothers.
Right.
There's rules transferal there.
Yeah, right.
Such that I can share with you my enjoyment of it, I can critique it, we can talk together about the genre as a whole.
Right.
But something like fighting games, mm-hmm. right? Huge community, strong and vibrant community, but very much isolated.
Yeah.
And I think largely in a negative way. They don't get the amount of audience that they could necessarily get, especially from the competitive side.
Yeah.
As we discussed in the...
In the I Got Next podcast that we did.
Yeah. And then also... In that I Got Next podcast, we were talking about how, aside from gender, it's quite a diverse community right. in the Street Fighter community.
Right.
And how that's something we don't necessarily see in other smaller communities.
Right.
Like, Dimes Dollar says the Minecraft community is far less diverse than the Street Fighter community.
Who knows? And that's one of the problems is just the publicity.
Right.
That's I think Katie's good to point this out in the article that... If you just open it up, you don't necessarily even have to have a message going in to this project of kind of talking about MMOs and WoW in general and specifically more. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll find interesting things if you just kind of poke around.
Yeah,
which is why it's nice every once in a while when you see someone actually talk about WoW in a sense that's not like, okay, here's how to min max your elf.
Right.
You know, like it's like there are different things besides the actual mechanics of the game.
I want to talk about another reason I think it's a walled-off city, and this is the model that it's still using, the pay-to-play model.
Yeah, I'm glad we're getting into this.
Because this is a you are fundamentally locking people out of that experience.
Right.
And you could say, okay, well, Skyrim's not free-to-play either, and neither is Bioshock 2 or what have you.
Yeah.
But in an era where so many people are playing something, it still seems, and especially when so many MMOs are going free-to-play, it seems very archaic to maintain that model.
Right. I mean, I completely agree, and I was thinking about other reasons besides maybe cultural biases and just personal tastes as to why WoW has kind of started drifting off into its own little circle, and there are economic concerns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it is strange to pay $15 a month for an MMO when Lord of the Rings Online is free-to-play.
Yep.
I think Star Trek just went free-to-play.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference is that the community is huge, right? I mean, if you're looking at something like Guild Wars, it's going to be less polished and less populous than something like WoW.
But again, the players who are still playing WoW have likely been playing for a while and have invested a huge amount of time and money.
Right. So there's like a sunk cost thing.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons, and it's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a bad reason, I guess. But I mean, if I had infinite amounts of money to throw at everything... Sure, why not? I'd keep an active WoW account.
But
that would have meant I would have paid hundreds of dollars over the years for something that I'd maybe fire up once a month or so, just to kind of see what's happening. And so it's one of those things where, in a world where now games are becoming more and more free-to-play rather than the WoW model, that will just segment it even more from someone like me.
Yeah. It's interesting, but I hadn't thought about this until you were just talking about that. But do you think that there is an incentive from the creators and the marketers behind MMOs to create this image of it being a walled-off community?
Yeah.
To create this idea that you're not partaking in the zeitgeist of the time. You just don't get it. And in order to get it, come on in. Here's a deal we're offering you.
Right.
You play for the first 20 levels for free.
Yeah.
Because I kind of get that feeling now from the people playing Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah.
I have some friends who are trying very hard to get me in the community.
Right.
And they never lobby me by saying, here's what you're missing out. They don't describe it. It's just like, look, George, it's Star Wars. The world is so big. Come join us. One of us, George.
Join us.
Yeah,
together we are real.
And, you know, I get the sense that if they could make an argument, if they could even say, hey, there's this quest line that is 50 hours long or something ridiculous, and it's incredibly fun, and here's a little hint at the storyline, come and just play that, and maybe we'll have a grand old time.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe I would be a bit more persuaded. But as it stands, it's like, here's this thing that you just don't get until you actually participate.
Well, and I think that's why the Old Republic specifically... is, or maybe should do this even to a larger extent, they should lean on their BioWare chops a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because for people that... I have no clue what the story to WoW is. Mm-hmm. I know there's a dragon and he messed up the world. Like, I mean, that's pretty
much...
There's some pandas. There are now apparently motorcycles or something.
Yep.
Like, I mean, but I know... I don't know the story of the Old Republic, but I do know that BioWare cares about game stories.
Mm-hmm.
in a way that is just not the players making their own stories.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the folks at BioWare craft. And that is something that gives me an avenue into that city.
Right.
You know, something like, wow, I know I'd have to go in and either start from scratch in a world I know nothing about, or have faith that the writers in WoW kind of know what they're doing and will entertain me, or be willing to roleplay to a huge extent and kind of create my own story.
Right.
And I don't have an assurance that there's something there for me once I invest.
Right. And this is partly a marketing thing. And I think that to some extent the idea of a walled city or isolation from the rest of the gaming verse, if you will, is a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, the moment we start saying this is different, this is non-transferable, the experience you have is incredibly unique and you won't know what it is until you actually experience it,
right,
you are locking off a large number of people from engaging in the conversation. And I think that we're coming from the assumption here that we want people to engage in that conversation.
Right.
We want to share what WoW was like and try to learn something from it about how games should be designed or what type of experiences we can all be having.
Right.
And if that's not happening, and even if that's not happening amongst people who play Minecraft or people who play Street Fighter, because, you know, and that's the thing, right, is you and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we believe that people who play Minecraft obsessively can teach something important to people who play Street Fighter obsessively.
Right.
And
right.
vice versa.
Yeah.
And if that avenue of communication isn't happening, then the industry as a whole and the community as a whole is missing out on something.
It's good to point out that, and Katie alludes to this in her article, that some of the most vocal critiques of WoW are actually quite critical.
Right.
I mean, it's been called the, I think it was Jonathan Blow, this is his unethical game, right?
Right.
And I mean, you have a pillar of the community, you know, for better or worse, when Jonathan Blow talks, people listen.
Yes.
And so when he publicly decries a game, it kind of sets the tone for how other quasi-intellectuals approach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like, okay, well, I generally think Jonathan Blow's a pretty smart guy. He said this thing about WoW. All right, I'll let that be the defining word for a while.
Yeah.
And so it kind of lets me kind of slack off a little bit. It's like, okay, well, he's clearly analyzed this. That means I can probably just ignore it for a while.
Right.
And so, obviously, that's not the right thing to do. That's shame on me for doing it. But WoW has gotten to the point where I feel like some of the larger, like the larger conventional wisdom has been set, like the tone has been set by people who have those opinions about it.
Yeah.
Like the champions of WoW have been a little bit shouted down, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear something on the opposite end, you know? Like, I don't know if anything pops into your head off the top of your head, but I mean, have there been...
Like an advocate, you're saying.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, we've written a couple things about WoW. Like, I've written about WoW in terms of preservation and history.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like WoW is a really interesting test case for how to preserve virtual worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what happens now that Cataclysm is over, it's really hard to construct the history of WoW because they've basically erased Azeroth and rewritten it. And so I think that's, from a critical perspective, that's kind of interesting. Like, how do you tell the story of change in a virtual world? And then how do you tell the meta history of what a video game is when it's constantly changing? Like, it's really hard now to track down, like, a digital copy of vanilla WoW.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's partly why the advocates that you're talking about here tend to be more, again, from that sort of anthropological perspective.
Right.
Right. They're describing particular moments or scenes or sometimes design, you know, like Cataclysm's sort of instancing system that they implemented that allowed the world to physically change just for you and then go into this sort of new instanced real world is something that is absolutely amazing and all MMOs should do it. And people talked about that for a while when it first came out.
Right.
But, you know, once time goes on, we start looking at things more as visitors to that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're never going to find an advocate that's going to be as vocal as someone who can just say, no, this is just unethical, or this is badly designed.
Right, right. Right.
I mean, even from the sort of the schooling of, what is it called? Like, speech and debate.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's almost always easier to argue the negative side, because it's just way easier to critique something.
That's true, that's true.
I think that you're more likely to find an advocate in a community that isn't as big as maybe it should be.
Mm.
You know, everyone who loves WoW is probably playing WoW right now.
No, it's not this podcast.
So I think that, you know, by and large, the advocacy needs to come from people who were in communities that haven't tapped the potential that they need to tap.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's an incentive to to be a little bit more zealous when there's something to prove, almost.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, this raises so many questions, because it's about what type of person can we have as our representative of a particular genre or community? Mm-hmm. Because that does come into play. Yeah. If we had someone like Jonathan Blow, who instead of saying the game was unethical, was saying, look at all of these amazing things that we can experience, come and join me.
Right, right.
You'd have a very different type of conversation going on amongst the critical gaming community.
Right.
And I think that when you look at games like Street Fighter or competitive games, which are, no matter what competitive game you pick, that competitive level of play is a community all its own. Mm-hmm. And they don't communicate often with each other, let alone the broader community. So I think that finding an advocate of those communities might be more valuable and more interesting. But, you know, who fills those roles and what do they technically do? And,
right.
I mean, because...
And how do you find them, basically?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is on the developers, right? To
could be.
Create a... I mean, this basically falls into community management.
Right,
and not just isolating the community and supporting the community, but creating venues for communication between communities.
Mm-hmm. And the potential is definitely there. Like I said, you know, the Border House has written good things about WoW. There's been some good stuff in the academic realm. Other, like, MMOs in general have spawned, like, what we used to call new games journalism in the past. Gosh, I'm really blanking on the Star Wars MMO, or possibly, I guess...
Galaxy?
Maybe it was Star Wars Galaxy. It was, excuse my language, but it was the Bow Nigger story.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
which awesome. Is, like, one of the best pieces of game writing I've ever read.
Right.
And that came from an online community that I've never, ever been a part of.
Right.
And so I want to know, I'm basically interested in reading more of those types of things about the WoW community now that I've read this piece by Katie Williams. Like, okay, there must be something else in here that I'm missing just because I'm not part of that.
Yeah.
The city.
And I like to think that with the amount of sort of game blogs and game, you know, places like Kotaku that repost interesting pieces.
Right.
My hope is that unique pieces on even old games will float to the top, and they often do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really what the concluding thing here then is just diversify your palette.
Right.
You consume many types of games, but also many types of commentary and community involvement with those types of games. Like, one of my favorite pieces of games journalism, or I guess you would... It's not even journalism. I guess it's more storytelling.
Yeah.
Is the story of two Sims characters...
Oh, yeah.
Living in poverty.
I remember that, yeah.
And I don't play The Sims. I don't know a great deal about The Sims.
Yeah.
But that was an amazing piece of writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it talked about and hinged upon the core mechanic of The Sims and the system that The Sims normally represents.
Yeah.
Because it is about conspicuous consumption.
Right.
And all of a sudden you have a story of these two characters who cannot live in the world that The Sims ostensibly exists to create.
Yeah.
And that's the type of, I think, interesting writing that you get and can learn from if you're engaging in a community that you're not necessarily comfortable with.
So this is how we're justifying why we're playing Facebook games right
now. yeah, exactly.
This is exactly why. And you know what? If WoW wasn't $15 a month, I might be playing that.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, the reason why it's so easy to diversify yourself in terms of Facebook games, the reason why we two are doing it is because it's the initial barrier to entry is just really, it's really easy to get into.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have to rely on you all to educate us about WoW, maybe your favorite pieces. You can email us with comments, suggestions, anything you want. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
Of course, if you play WoW and you think that you're in a WoW community or not, we'd love to hear from you. experiencepoints.net is the website. You can leave your thoughts in the comments, and I think we should thank Katie Williams for a great article.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for writing it, and thanks to everyone else for listening. Until next time, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Leroy! There's a place you go to, because I drove you there. Well, I took more than I could take. Leroy Jenkins!